is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you probably should have that underlined in your Bible, because you should not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life is Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, and for it is not subjected to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Verse 8, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but to receive the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit of himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Indeed, we suffer with him that we may also be glorified together. The title of today's message is, Are You Ready for War? Are you ready for war? As you walked into our building this morning, did anybody notice anything different? You guys noticed something? Some did, some didn't. What'd you notice? The decorations. What else did you notice?
Flower beds. Man, they look sharp.
The flower beds have been picked clean of weeds. Now, how many times have you walked in and out of our building in the last, say, 2 months? Maybe 3 months. And you have walked by those weeds, and you've walked in through those weeds. How many times have you walked in? Noticed the weeds, maybe noticed them, maybe didn't, maybe just walked right on in. And you were okay with it. Are you ready to go to war? Are you ready to do something about those things that you see? Now, this message could be a message of getting you all hyped up and ready to serve in the church. But if you're a believer in Christ, you should be doing that anyway. This should be a service that you do anyway. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter who you are or what. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're a little child. As I seen a little child standing beside my wife 2 weeks ago, he was protecting her. He was guarding her. If you don't know this little child, he's beginning to pray out loud. He's beginning to do some things that is not normal for him. But he is beginning to find who Christ is. And he's beginning to go to war. He's beginning to pray. He's beginning to seek the Father. I noticed them, and I talked to, me and Margaret talked, I think, a couple weeks ago before I left. I said, yeah, I'm going to have to get those and pull those out. And I said, I don't know what weeds and what flowers are. Maybe that was my excuse, right? But I come back on Wednesday. I was here early Wednesday morning, and I was just praying, seeking the Lord. And the weeds weren't pulled. And so I was here probably an hour and a half or so, just doing some things in the church, worshiping and praying and seeking the Father and changing light bulbs and just doing some different things. And I walked out and said, man, I got to get back and do these weeds. This is Wednesday. We have prayer night on Wednesday night, and I come back and the weeds and everything is like, who done this? And they didn't want to be mentioned, and I won't mention them because they did it out of their heart and out of the service. Basically, they got tired of looking at the weeds. They got tired of seeing the weeds when you come into the church, when you leave the church. How many times do we live with sin in our life that we just ignore and just are used to it? So we could have went through the winter and no one would have pulled those weeds if someone would have said, you know what? I've had enough. I've had enough of this look. I've had enough of this in my life. Somewhere we got to go to war in our life about the flesh. See, someone had to say it's enough and then take care of the issue. You got to say it's enough of this sin in my life. It's enough that I need to fight for it. You know, some might say, well, this is just part of me. See, we might not recognize the sin. We get used to it. It might be something simple. It could be a little bit of anger that you have or a little bit of deceit against someone or a little bit of maybe unforgiveness for some with someone, or maybe you just have like you spite someone. It's like, man, I don't really want to be around them, and you have this anguish. The Spirit of God does not say that. The Spirit of God says you should love them. You should not have a guard against you, especially if it's people that you worship with. Some will just say, that's just the way I am. That's just my character. That's who I've been all my life. Well, no, that's not who Jesus is. And we're supposed to be imitators of Christ. We're supposed to imitate him. And as we move into our Christian life, as we move into this life, we are supposed to be changed. It says we are to be changed from glory to glory to glory, right? It says I'm not supposed to be the same as I was yesterday, but I'm supposed to be new. I renew myself in Jesus every day. Are you renewing yourself in Jesus but still living with the same sin in your life? Israel, we all know last Saturday, Israel went to war because Hamas terrorists came in undetected. Israel is one of the top technology in the world. They know what is going on everywhere. Their technology is just, it could surpass ours. But here it is, these terrorists come in. And now I think we're up to 1,200 Jewish people that have lost their lives. Man, how many? It's 1,300 now. Men, women, and babies. Massacred. How did they not know? How did they not know? That's what the world wants to know. How did they not know? But see, they communicating. Went underneath the radar. All along, Hamas has been plotting this for years. You know, I was watching the news Friday night, and as Israel prepares their soldiers for war, he said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to walk them through this musical festival where this all started. We're going to walk them through the villages. We're going to walk them through the towns where Hamas has came in, and we're going to build this in their heart that you know what? They're going to be angry. They're going to know what they're fighting for. And so they begin to walk those soldiers through those places where the blood has been shed. Babies have been decapitated, burned alive, women being captured and abused, children shot in their cribs. And they have walked these soldiers through there so they know what they're fighting for. They're fighting for their comrades, their family, their people. They're ready for war. They're ready for war. Are you ready for war? Are you ready for war? If someone came to your house in the middle of the night, are you ready for them? Are you ready to fight and wage the battle? Are you ready for war? You know, Israel has prayed the protection of God all around them and a hedge of protection around Israel, and the enemy still got in. The United States, Christians around the world have prayed for Israel to be safe, safe, keep them safe. Because we know that the Iran and there's other nations that are going to come up against Israel. It says all nations will come up against Israel in the end times. We are escalating so fast to the end times, it's crazy. That in my time, we're going to see the return of Christ. In your time, I mean, I know they said this back in the 20s. Things have escalated so fast. I believe I'm going to see the coming of Christ. Am I ready? Do I allow those things in my life just to ignore them like I do the weeds outside of this door? If someone tried to hurt your grandchildren or your children, would you fight? Would you fight the physical fight? Will you do the same for your eternity? Will you do the same for your eternity and your relationship with Jesus? Romans 8, 5 through 13, we just read it. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Is your mind set upon the Spirit? Or is when you walk out of this door, do you set your mind on life? What is life when you walk out of these doors, what does life look like to you? It says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To live in the Spirit, there is peace in your life. If you don't pray in tongues, you should be praying in tongues because it builds you up. It says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It then said, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. When you're walking in the flesh and you're walking in those hidden sins and you're walking in those things in your life that you are dealing with, but you will not fight or go to war for them, you are living in the flesh and you cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Can you have the Spirit of Christ and live in sin? Tough question, huh? We hear Pastor Sonny say no. Can you make mistakes and still have the Spirit of Christ live within you? Sonny talked, he alluded to this when he opened up this morning. All this message and all this that came together, I haven't talked to Sonny, and he hadn't talked to me about what we were going to talk about and what he was going to open up with, and we fight our battle on our hands and knees, and we got to trust in the Lord. For all the things that we're going through, we got to trust in the Lord. Even when we can't see the answer and we think the answer should be this, we need to trust in the Lord all the time. I see God move. I've seen Him move in this church since we started coming here in 03, and I've seen God move constantly. When I think if this is the way to go and God chooses another way, and it's like, wow, God, I didn't know that, but you are so right. See, you're living in the Spirit, you can recognize those things that God does. It says, but you are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead. If Christ is in you, the flesh dies. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And it's not your righteousness, it's Jesus' righteousness is the only way that you can be redeemed. Then it says, but again, if the Spirit of whom raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. How does he do that? Through the resurrection. Through the resurrection. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. That is a powerful scripture. Look at all the buts and therefores in there. You know, there is so much to unpack there. See, we don't owe the flesh anything. We owe the flesh absolutely nothing but enmity and war. We should be warring against our flesh. We should be warring against those things that are not of God. See, the flesh has been trying to kill us since we were born. From the very beginning, we were born. When we came out of our mother's womb, the flesh is beginning to kill us, right? I believe so, because we were born in the flesh, and flesh is going to die. We don't owe the flesh anything. Don't join forces with the enemy, and then don't pay for your own destruction. See, when we live in this sin, we live in this place of sin, things that we do, things that we think, thoughts, the things that we say, when we live in this place, all we're doing is paying for our own destruction because we're living in the flesh, not in the Spirit. The Spirit of God will not talk about angry things. He will not speak evil about people. He will only speak love and compassion. Paul tells us in verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you must die. You must die if you live according to the flesh. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. We heard a sermon, and we might do this, and I've been thinking about it on Sunday nights. There are 6 messages that were preached when we were in Dawsonville, and I'm thinking about just opening them up and just having listening to those on a Sunday night, just because there's some really good things in these messages. And last year when we were there, we heard the messages, and all the messages were what the church was going through or going to go through, or what was happening at the church. And then this year, the messages were what we've already been preaching. The messages were what we are already been preaching. We've been preaching it before I heard it. And that tells me that we are on the right place of where God wants to do. But there was a guy, I can't remember his name. What was it? Liardo? What was his name?
Roberts Lairdon.
He preached. He didn't preach a message. He talked about Catherine Kuhlman. I was talking to Mom and Dad about this yesterday, and Mom knew about it. She had read the books. But Catherine Kuhlman, before she got on stage, she would pace back and forth. It was behind the curtain. Back then, they had this big curtain. She would come out to thousands of people, but she would. That was her time. Leave her alone. No one come around her. She was getting right with God, and her prayer was, "Lord, let me die. Let me die. Let me die 10,000 deaths. Let me die. Let me die. Let me die." Because if he didn't. She didn't want her to walk out of the stage. She wanted the Holy Spirit and her friend to walk out on that stage. It wasn't her, but the Holy Spirit moving. She wanted to die to herself, die to those things that were in her. And we must do the same thing. We must die to the flesh in us. So we don't owe the flesh anything, but the Spirit of God, we owe everything. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, who dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead, who also gives life to your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit who dwells in you." See, as believers in Jesus, we need to be at war with sin. How many really think that, you know, we get saved and we just say, "Okay, God, I'm saved. Now I just do whatever." Or do we fully concentrate, fully go to war with those things in our life that does not line up to the Word of God? I believe there's a lot of people in the church, not this church, churches worldwide, that believe that there is just, "Bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord. It's all about me. What can you do for me?" It's what can we do for Him. It's what can we do for Him. If you're trying to survive as a Christian in any way other than by the Spirit, you will not survive. You're going to die. If you don't try to walk in the Spirit, if you don't wage war with the sin in your life, if you don't wage war with those things that keep you bound. See, I know Mark talked about some things 2 weeks ago. What is keeping you bound that you will not go to war for? You think it's okay. You need to go to war for those things in the flesh because you got to let the flesh die. I'm going to repeat that. You got to let the flesh die. The flesh in the body is corrupt. You got to let it die. We need to be at war at sin. There are so-called Christians all over the world are going to bed with their sin. They're going to bed with their sin. And they think it's okay. And we speak the name of Jesus. And we pray for people. And we do all this stuff. And we can quote Bible scriptures. But we go to bed with our sins. How does that show the glory of God? How does that show death to your flesh. I know there's people that will fight tooth and nail, pull out weapons, pull out knives, and fight for their families. They will fight to the death, but they will not fight for their own soul. They will not fight for their own peace. Because I'm so used to it. It's just me. Oh, that's the way I look. The Bible says that I will be changed. I will be changed to become like him. Why are we so afraid to go to war for ourselves? We can't be normal. We can't be normal people anymore. We have to be changed, continually changed. I am not the perfection of who I should be, and I know that. Am I going to go to war to be the perfection that God has created me to be? Am I doing the things that I need to do? When we got into Saturday night at Dawsonville, and me and her went to the altar, and we just began to pray because it was prayer time, and they do prayer like we do, and it's just music, and nothing said. You pray in tongues or whatever, and the Lord began to say, are you willing to fight? Are you willing to, he's basically calling me to fast. He said, are you willing to fight? What is it going to cost you? It's going to cost you something. You want to see a move of God. And that's what he's telling me. But am I willing to fight for those moments of God's intervention in this place? Am I willing to fight, or am I just willing to come up, preach a message, go home, and do nothing about it? Am I willing to fight to see what God has for me in my life? And this is where we all need to be. You're all priests. You're all priests. You all need to be in that place of God. Where can I be at? Where do I need to die at to make your glory be revealed? He can't use things that are broken. I mean, well, he can. He can use a lot of things that are broken. But if you want to be used by God, you got to get your life cleaned up. Until you believe that you're at war with your flesh and the stake is your soul, you'll probably just play Christianity. You'll probably just play Christianity. Sing the songs, read some verses, say I'm saved and everyone goes to heaven, and be okay. But I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to be okay. Jesus is coming for a spotless and wrinkless bride. Are you going to be spotless and wrinkless? Yeah, we're going to make mistakes. And Jesus' blood covers us. He is the redeemer of my soul. He saves my life. I know I'm going to make mistakes. I know you're going to make mistakes. But are we going to go to the war, the things that we are warring with each and every day? Those thoughts that come into our minds, those images that come to our minds, are we going to be at war with those things to say, I've had enough? Israel has had enough of Hamas attacking them. They've had enough. They're going to go in and wipe them completely out. How many agree that's what they should do? I agree that they should wipe them completely out. Even though I pray that God, you save them. Father, I pray that you open the eyes of the Hamas people. But they need to wipe out the enemy that is coming in to destroy them. Are we willing to wipe out the enemy that has been coming in? As Owen will do, really small. Really small, really small thoughts, really small images, really small words of anger. And then all of a sudden they begin to grow, because it says out of the heart the mouth will speak. And what you begin to place in your heart and what you begin to do in your heart, the mouth begins to speak it out. A rage or whatever you're dealing with, because you've put it into your heart and it's planted seeds and it begins to grow. And then all of a sudden, when it comes to bear harvest, it comes out in a way that you don't want it to come out. That's the way the seed will work. It grows in you. The Bible tells us, it says, out of the heart the mouth will speak, and I believe that is true. Because every word in this scripture, every word in this book is the truth. There is nothing in this book that is a lie. See, the problem is there's no blood in the game. There's no blood in the game for us. You know, because we can still walk through the church doors and God didn't kill us when we walked through the doors. And I don't know how many times you hear people say, well, if I go to church, the church walls will fall in. And that is not the case. And you know it and I know it. That's just an excuse because there is no blood in the game. There's no reason for them to change. Their life is going well. You know, most of the people that come to Christ, their life is in torment. Their life is in the shambles. Their life or their marriage is falling apart. And they need to find a way to heal their marriage. They need to find a way to bring reconciliation in their life. But you know what happens? They begin to come back into the church and they begin to bring reconciliation into their marriage. And what happens is when their marriage gets put back together, they begin to walk back out of that place because their marriage is good. They think it is good, and all of a sudden, then a year or two down the road, they begin to split apart again because they do not stay faithful to God's word. They do not stay faithful to him. There is no blood in the game. But when it comes down to your children, when it comes down to your family, when it comes down to something that's going to hurt you, you will fight tooth and nail for. There's no earnestly and no vigilant. And no passion and no wartime mindset. There is no wartime mindset in your life. There is no wartime mindset in your life. You got to have a mindset of war constantly. Jesus said in Matthew 11:12, he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violence take it by force. Jesus also said in Matthew 18:8-9, it says, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. Cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter life with one eye rather than having two to be cast into hell's fire. This is a radical thing that Jesus said. It's better to be radical in wartime. It's better to be radical during the, if you're fighting for your soul, you ought to be radical and say, you know what, I need to change something about me. This has nothing to do with the sin of others. It has everything to do with your sin. Has nothing to do with your wife's sin, your husband's sin. It has nothing to do with your children's sin. It has everything to do with you. If something is going on in your life, you cannot blame anybody else but yourself. When you go and stand before God, except for the husbands, when you go and stand before God, you're going to give an account of your life. Husbands are going to get an account for their family and how they treated their family and how they raised their children, how they treated their wife. Wives, you don't have to be accountable for that. But husbands, you will be accountable for when you stand before God. Not only your life and how you acted and how you walked, how you spoke and how you thought, but you're going to be accountable for the actions of your family. Did you raise your family in the right manner? Did you treat your children in the right way? Did you treat your wife in the right way? That you would die for her. If you want to live in the Spirit, you need to get radical. You need to get radical for your soul. Guys, time is getting short. The signs are there. The signs are there. Closer than they've ever been. You need to get radical for your soul because you know what? There's only one chance. Now, I believe in the rapture. I believe there's a rapture of the church, and then there's a second coming of Christ. That's how I believe. You can believe however you want to believe. But I believe that there's a rapture of the church, and there's only one chance to be raptured up. That's what I believe. It doesn't matter. Jesus is coming. He's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. He's going to split the Mount of Olives apart, and his reign in the earth is going to be for a millennial reign. I know that for a fact. But if I believe in the rapture, that if I miss the rapture, I got to live through the tribulation. If I got to live through the tribulation, then all those bowls and all those things that are poured out, the great tribulation, I got to live through. Or I'm going to be martyred. I'm going to have my head chopped off. One or the other. But I'm going to have to choose Christ then, or I'm going to choose him now. Will I be radical for choosing him now? Ed Welch, he wrote a book called A Banquet in the Grave. He said this: there is a mean streak to authentic self-control. Self-control is not front for the timid. We want to grow in it. Not only do we nurture an exuberance for Jesus Christ, we also demand ourselves a hatred for sin. The only possible attitude toward out-of-control desire is a declaration of all-out war. There is something about war that sharpens the senses. You're hearing a twig snap or a rustling of leaves, and you are in attack mode. Someone coughs, and you are ready to pull the trigger. Even after days of little to no sleep, war keeps us vigilant. Anybody hunters been out in the woods to hunt? Sitting in a tree stand or sitting in your blind, and it's early morning, and it's still dark, and you're anticipating that deer to walk by. And you hear the crustle, the crickling of the leaves, and you hear the snap of the twig, and you're all ready, but it's still too dark. Daylight comes along, and the woods comes alive, and you're anticipating that deer. See, in wartime, I've never been in war except for the spiritual warfare. I've never had to go to battle. I've never had to go fight like some of the family members are taking off for Israel now. I know my son has been in war zone, and he is more attuned to different things. When it's going to cost you your life, when it's really going to cost you your life, because you don't know if that person is going to shoot back at you or not. But I'm telling you what, the enemy is firing fiery darts at your life. He's firing fiery darts at your soul. He's trying to corrupt you and tempt you and tear you apart. He's trying to deceive you. He's trying to torment your marriage. He's trying to pull you apart. He's trying to pull you away from God. And if he can get you, if he can get that little small thing, if he can get that little small thought, if he can get that little small words to start to come out of your mouth, if he can plant that little small seed in your heart, then all of a sudden that thing begins to grow. It might grow over time, or it might have some miracle grow and begin to grow fast. But what will happen is he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's what he's going to do to your life. He's after every Christian in the world. You're not an exception. He's after everyone in the world. And if he knows that you are living in this place of hidden sin or this place of no wartime effect in your life, he knows that he can corrupt you. See, the deception will lead you astray. When Jesus went out into the wilderness after his baptism, Satan was trying to deceive him, give him deception, the wrong deception. And Jesus used the word to attack him back. See, we need to have a similar mindset against the sin in our lives. When we are at peace with the sin, we will surely die. Are you at peace with your sin? I'm gonna move along a little quicker now. I got three things I want to talk about. The message just now starts. There you go. What are the deeds of the body? And are we okay to kill them? What are the deeds of the body that we are okay to kill? So let's shed some light on Romans 8:13. So we're going to look at Romans 6:13. It says, "And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." So what is the deeds of the body we are to kill? The deeds that you are about to do. The deeds that you are about to do. When you walk out of this building, what deeds are you about to do? What are you about to do? Are you about ready to be angry with your wife because she was curling her hair too long this morning, or she didn't make lunch for you this afternoon, what deeds are you about to do that you need to kill? So you need to kill them before they happen. You need to kill those thoughts before they happen. You need to slaughter those things before they come into being. That thought in the mind that you need to kill right off the bat, it says take every thought captive. Right? The Bible tells you to take every thought captive. Why? Because he doesn't want you to speak it out. He doesn't want you to act it out. Because that thought could be sin in your life. Do it before it happens. Thoughts about someone, anger with someone, fleshly appetites and desires. That's what you need to look at. You need to think about those things. When those things pop in your mind, you need to take them captive, cut them off, slaughter them, kill them, get rid of them, and move them out of your way. Go to war with those thoughts. You know, if you don't know how to fight, there was a song today that said, fight on your knees. Fight in praise and worship. Fight. This is how I fight my battles, right? I come before God. I come before the holy God. And I begin to fight my battles with him. Is he the victor? Yes, he is the victor. And I can do nothing of myself, but I come to him because I surrender myself to him because he is the Lord of my life. He has to be the Lord of your life. If you have sin in your life, then he is not Lord of your life because you allow that sin to take his place. Romans 6:12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. We should kill it right then. We should be war ready. You got to be war ready, Isaiah. You got to be war ready. Your children are at stake right now. You got to be war ready. You got to be war ready. Everyone has to be war ready for those thoughts and actions that we're going to do. You got to be ready to fight. If I would get you mad, would you come up and fight me? If I picked on your kids, would you come up and fight me? If I was hurting your children, would you come up and fight me? You would stand in the middle, right? I know you would. I know who you are. Mark would do the same thing to his, if I wanted to come up against his children. If I come up against his grandchildren, he'd want to stand in the middle. He would put the child behind him and he would stand in the middle and he'd fight me till death. But we won't do that for ourselves. We won't do that for ourselves because either we don't think we're worth it or we just think it's okay. But we need to put those things to death. We need to fight and be war ready. Romans 6:5-6 says, for if we have been united together in likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slave to sin. See, when I got saved, my old man died. Totally died. I surrendered to the King of Kings. I didn't have the Holy Spirit. I mean, I had Jesus living in my heart, but I didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It took me another year before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, not speaking in tongues, but baptized in the Holy Spirit when I surrendered to him. And I really surrendered to the living God. And he come over my physical body and he just began to show me his power. He revealed his glory to me. I was changed instantly. My old man was crucified with Christ. My old self was crucified. Now I should not live a slave to sin anymore. But the problem is the devil comes around like a roaring lion, but he comes around like a little lamb or a little mouse just to come in to get that little thing, get that little seed in your heart. Hate, anger, deception, and all of a sudden that little seed will grow. Second thing is, what is putting to death? What is this putting to death? What is it? So when you put something to death, what do? Has anybody killed anything besides hunters? Not people. We don't kill people.
Yeah, I killed a fly yesterday.
You killed a fly? I remember my first deer hunt. I took my dad's rifle or shotgun and I missed it. The deer was probably from here to that door and I did not hit it. I could not hit it. So I went and bought my own gun, 16 years old. I went and bought my own 12-gauge shotgun because my dad's gun was junk. Couldn't hit nothing with it. It was a break over 12 gauge, and I was tight, didn't cheap. You know how I am. I don't like to spend a lot of money. And so anyway, I went out and bought a, I thought hunting was the thing to do. I thought that was the thing to do. Everybody was hunting. All the kids my age are hunting. And so I bought this new gun. I go out in the woods, and here's this deer comes up walking on me. I'm sitting on a down tree, and I aim, and it's about 60 yards away, and poof, I hit it. Surprised me. It's the gun. That deer sat on its haunches and like a dog would sitting, and it began to holler. It began to bell out, ah, you know, it was like screaming. Hurt my heart. I was taking the life of something. I was taking the life of something. And it hurt me. But when you take the life of something, you strangle it. You cut off the blood flow of it. You got to get mean if you're going to take the life of something. See, we don't want to take the life of our sin because it's, we don't want to crush it. We don't want to kill it. We don't want to slit its throat. See, putting to death is to suffocate the deeds of the flesh. How do you kill something? You cut the lifeline or the blood flow. See, that deer wasn't dying yet, but the blood was bleeding out of it. And it was I would cut off the blood flow, but it took a long time to die. Sin will take a long time to die if you don't suffocate it. You got to come up and fight it. You got to come up and war against it. You got to cut the life flow of it. You got to strangle it. You got to stop it in its tracks. Matthew 15, 18, and 20 says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, that they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. All those things in there defile you. Thoughts, murderers, hate, that's hate. Adulteries. Adulteries not only against your wife, but against the living God. Fornication. Thefts. False witnesses and blasphemies. See, there is a condition of the heart that gives rise to the deeds of the body. See, it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. Even your sin is a heart issue. Even any sin that you deal with, any of your family members or your children deal with, it is a heart issue that they're dealing with them. Because everything comes out of the heart. What you speak comes from your heart. What you think comes from your heart. Something was put into your heart that made you think that. Something was put into your heart that made you say that. Something that was put into your heart made you act that way. Because in Romans 8, 7, it says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It cannot be subject to the law of God because it is not of God. The carnal mind does not think the spiritual mindset. The carnal mind does not think the spiritual things of God. It thinks of only you, only earthly things. It only thinks of what can I do to please myself is the carnal mindset. See, the deeds of the body are hostile towards God and need to be put to death. We're either unwilling or unable to. You're either willing or unable to put those things to death. Can you put those things to death? Can you fight those things? Can you put those to death today? Romans 8, 12 to 13 says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. I don't debt anything to the flesh, but it says to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. This is not my words. This is Paul writing from the Holy Spirit, directed from God. It says that if you live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Then he says, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You will have life. You will have life in your spirit. You will have joy in your heart. See, to kill the deeds of the body, we must get hostile. You must cut off the lifeline. You must cut off the blood flow. You got to get hostile. You got to get angry with those things. You got to stop the flow of blood. You got to stop it. You got to cut it off. You got to sever its neck. You got to do it. If you don't do it, Christ is coming back and you could possibly be left behind. Thinking, no, even though you go to church and you pray a prayer and you do certain things, it's not going to get you into heaven. It's only going to get you into a place you don't want to go. You cannot play church. You cannot live on both sides of the fence. You're either going to be on one side or the other. You cannot choose where you want to live at the last second. It says in a twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye, it's going to come upon you like you don't even know. It's going to come upon you like lightning. You know, they say that people that get struck by lightning, when the lightning comes, they know it's coming, but they can't get out of the way. They feel the charge in their body, and bam, it hits them already. That's the way the coming of the Son of Man is going to be. It's going to come like lightning out of the east. It's going to come, and you're going to know it's coming, and man, it's too late. It's now's the time to get ready. Now's the time to get your heart right. Now it's time to sever the things of the flesh. You need to sever the root of hostility and insubordination that rejects God. You need to sever that root. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is, how do you do this by the Spirit? First thing, set your mind on things of the Spirit. Set your mind on things of the Spirit. How do you do that? How do you set your mind on things of the Spirit? First, get out of the sin. First, get out of that place. Cut off that thing. Cut it off. Cut the blood flow. And then get into the Word of God. And then get on your knees and begin to pray the Word of God. And then begin to communicate with the Father. Then communicate with the Holy Spirit. Begin to know them. Draw. I think Sonny was talking. When you draw near to Him. When you draw near to Him, it says He will draw near to you. You're never a lost cause. You're never lost. You can walk as far away from God as you can, but He will still redeem you back if you start walking back towards Him. No one is that far gone. No one can be that far gone, because He loves you with an everlasting compassion. That He sent His Son to die for you. He died for the ones that have been walking away. All over the church community, people are walking away from the church. There were statistics. I don't remember what the statistics were right offhand, but there were statistics given, and it is amazing from where we're at today and where we're at years ago. People are walking away from the church drastically. They're falling away. It's the great falling away. We said there would be that, right? The Bible said there'll be a falling away. People are falling away from the church because it's too hard. It was main denominational, mainstream, so we're non-denomination, so it's not us, but there are people walking away from the non-denomination church as well. It's fear. It's people looking for positions. People looking for financial gain. I mean, this is all over. I mean, you hear it all over as they talk this weekend. You hear it all over. You know, we were talking to someone. They said, you know, the gospel is a lot of money. There's a lot of money in the gospel. People will pay a lot of money. Church people will read a lot of books. They'll buy books. If you write a book, they'll buy it. You don't even know what you're saying, but they'll write it. They'll read it. They'll buy it. But people are walking away from it because the power of God is not being revealed. The Word of God is not being preached truthfully. And so when the truth does come out, see, the truth hurts people's hearts. It hurts their heart. It hurts who they are. It's like, man. Even today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to people. Even today, the Holy Spirit is convicting you. People don't like the conviction of the Holy Spirit because it makes them wrong. It makes them, oh, I'm not right. But I just want to live over that place. I don't want to live in that place. I know Christ loves me, Jesus loves me, and He died for my sins. And as long as I believe that, I'm going to heaven. But I can't keep living the same life I've been living. Set your mind on things of the Spirit. It says in Romans 8, 5, and 6, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8, 13 says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die, but by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If you're going to put to death, if you're going to put it to death by the Spirit, you direct your mind, your heart, your spiritual focus on another way, namely the things of the Spirit. You've got to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. What is God doing today? What is God doing in my life today? What is God doing in His Scripture today? How can I change spiritually in my mind? How can I change spiritually as I read the Word? Step two, set your mind on the words of God and the realities that He stands for. 1 Corinthians 2, 13 and 14 says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the normal man does not receive these things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. The Pharisees did not understand what Jesus was saying because they were carnal. They didn't understand the spiritual things of God. See, man's wisdom can't keep us, can't help us, but only the Spirit of God that comes through us, through His Word, can help us. Ephesians 6, 17 says, it says that if you take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. See, when you take up a sword, what do you plan on doing when you take the sword up? What is the sword? Is this a sword? What is the sword? The Word of God. So when you pick up the Word of God, what are you going to do with it? You're going to slay the enemy. You're going to slay the enemy. That's what this is for, to slay the enemy. It's to teach you how to walk out the Christian life, but it's also teach you how to slay the enemy. This is the sword of the Lord. This is the God's word. This is the sword. I am supposed to use this to as an offensive weapon. It is not a defensive weapon. It is an offensive weapon that you use. You cut the life of the enemy. You kill it. Destroy it. You do not have any play in it. All you got to do is read the word, quote the scripture, get it into your heart, set it into your mind, get it into that place of understanding and faith, and speak the word of God, and your enemy has to flee. So I'm going to close. Today is the day, the time to put the things of the flesh aside and begin to fight for those things in your soul. It's not like any other time in your life, because this is precedence right now. Israel is at war. Israel is at war. And the Bible tells me that all nations are going to come up against Israel. Every nation in the earth today, every continent and every nation in the earth today has their eyes and focused on this little place of ground. Every nation, China, Russia, Ukraine takes a back burner to what's going on in Israel. Every nation is looking on. Every angel in heaven, every angel assigned to this church right here is looking on. How do you react to what we said today, and how do you react to the Word of God today? It could depend your eternity. It could depend your eternity today, where you go. You can take this Word today and you can walk away here and say, you know what, that's hogwash. I believe it this way, and this is the way I believe it. But you'll walk out of this place, and you'll notice that all the flowers, all the weeds are gone. Because someone had enough. Someone said, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to put up with it anymore. This is where you need to be at in your life. So as we close, I'm going to pray. And these altars are open. If you want to come to the altars, we'll have people come up and pray for you. But right now, this is between you and them. They cannot do anything for you. I could bring up a prayer line up here. They can't do anything for you. This has to be between you and God. This is a battle that you have to fight. Nobody else is going to fight this battle but you. You can have someone pray for you. They can speak words of wisdom over you. But you haven't fought the battle. That's like Israel. If they would say, hey, United States, we need you. We want you to fight our battle, but we're not going to wage war. We're going to stay in our own homes. We're not going to do anything. But we need you to fight our battle. United States goes over and defeats Hamas. Israel don't even recognize it because they never had to fight for it. They never got to see the bloodshed. But today is the day to fight. Today is the day to go to war for your own soul.